I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Friday's top news, and we begin with the fierce reemergence of the immigration debate. We've talked about it throughout the week, and ground zero right now in this debate is in the state of Arizona. Earlier this week, the Senate followed the lead of the state house in the Grand Canyon state in easily passing legislation, giving law enforcement much more latitude in confronting and arresting suspected illegal immigrants. There had been a fierce protest around the state capitol prior to the governor's decision late on Friday. And on Friday morning, outside the White House, President Obama tried to leverage the debate as well.
Our failure to act responsibly at the federal level will only open the door to irresponsibility by others. And that includes, for example, the recent efforts in Arizona, which threatened to undermine basic notions of fairness that we cherish as Americans.
President Obama and other critics of the legislation in Arizona say this amounts to nothing more than racial profiling. They say police now are able to stop and potentially harass people based on no probable cause. However, supporters of the legislation say it's nothing of the kind. Then, late on Friday afternoon Eastern Time, Arizona Governor Jan Brewer stepped briefly to the microphone and without a long-winded speech just said she's going to sign this legislation because the federal government has failed to do its job in stopping illegal immigration.
The bill I'm about to sign into law, Senate Bill 1070, represents another tool for our state to use as we work to solve a crisis that we did not create and the federal government has refused to fix. The crisis caused by illegal immigration in Arizona's poorest border.
Far from being a textbook exercise of racial profiling, Governor Brewer says this legislation does two things. It protects the citizens and affords everyone constitutional rights.
The Support Law Enforcement and Safe Neighborhoods Act strengthens the laws of our state. It protects all of us, every Arizona citizen, and everyone here in our state lawfully. And it does so while ensuring that the constitutional rights of all in Arizona remain solid, stable, and steadfast.
As we've reported earlier in the week, congressional leaders for the Democrats in both the House and Senate have promised to take up comprehensive national immigration reform legislation sometime this year. And this latest debate in Arizona will only exacerbate the push for that type of legislation. More analysis of the recently passed health care legislation was unveiled on Friday, this time by the Medicare actuary for the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Studies inside the Department of Health and Human Services, meaning this is a government survey. And the news is not good for supporters of the bill. The big headline is that it's extremely unlikely that over the first 10 years of this program that it will reduce deficits, as was a major promise from President Obama and congressional Democrats. Congressional Republicans had claimed otherwise, saying when you look at the real first 10 years of the program, once the programs and not just the revenue collection kick in, it would easily run into huge deficits. Now, the actuary says that even if you look at the Democrats' 10-year plan, it's still going to lose money because the projected Medicare cuts probably aren't realistic. But Rick Foster wasn't done there. He also says the structure of the bill makes it likely that many private employers will simply drop coverage for workers because the fine will be less and will be a little bit better for their bottom line. So the president's promise that if you like your current plan and your current doctor, you can keep it, is simply not true. Also, for those who do get to keep their coverage, expect premiums and other medical costs to continue to rise. Mr. Foster also had very harsh words about the structure of a new CLASS program, that's an acronym, designed to provide for long-term care for Americans. But he says other aspects of the legislation simply take money out of this, meaning it's fiscally unsustainable almost from the get-go. For more on the actuary's report, head to worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org and listen to my interview with Grace Marie Turner of the Galen Institute, who does an excellent job of breaking down the analysis from Rick Foster over at the Department of Health and Human Services. On to the war on terrorism now, and 2 days and two wins for U.S. Navy SEALs accused of illegally roughing up a terrorist they took into custody a couple of years ago, a terrorist responsible for the killing, burning, and hanging of U.S. contractors in Fallujah back in 2004. Just one day after Julio Huertas was exonerated by a military tribunal in Iraq, Petty Officer Second Class Jonathan Keith was also cleared, this time by a military judge, on the count of dereliction of duty, basically failing to stop the supposed attack. That means charges remain against only one Navy SEAL, although it is the Navy SEAL actually accused of striking the terrorist that was taken into custody. Also at worldnetdaily.com today and dateline.radioamerica.org, more on the war on terrorism and the growing alliance between Iran and Venezuela, as well as throughout Venezuela's little Marxist network in Latin America that includes Ecuador, Bolivia, and Nicaragua. We'll be talking with former U.S. Ambassador to Costa Rica, Jaime Derenbloom, to find out what Venezuela is giving Iran, what Iran is giving Venezuela, and how the U.S. administration should be responding to all of this. Also in those interview sections at those two websites, you can find my conversation with Marjorie Dannenfelser of the pro-life Susan B. Anthony list. We'll learn all about their campaign, $1 million worth to target five supposedly pro-life Democrats who ended up voting for the recent health care reform bill. On to the financial crisis now, but a different twist than we've been reporting over the last few days as the debate moves closer and closer to a final vote in the U.S. Senate. Now we're learning that officials at the Securities and Exchange Commission, well, they were supposedly trying to stop a financial meltdown, were too busy surfing for porn on their computers. According to a new report, 33 SEC employees have been cited, and these aren't isolated incidents. Some of them were executives making more than $200,000 a year. One senior attorney admitted that he spent more than 8 hours a day surfing the net for porn and downloaded so much that his hard drive got full and he burned them off onto DVDs. Another one admitted to watching at work as well as on his laptop during travel season. And another admitted to having 1,800 attempts to download porn denied online, but she still had 600 images downloaded to her computer as well. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.